Real quickly, I'm going to just touch on Proverbs 22 this morning as we kind of wrap our service together. I want you just to consider with me what I'll begin today and finish next time. I agree with the team, what they said. I appreciate your support. I know Ivy and his family does. For those of you that are in the larger church family here, we were the first church to support them financially and prayerfully. And so they're very appreciative for that work, and it's continued through the years. And so thankful for you being a part of that. Proverbs 22, there's one verse of Scripture there I want you to look at. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Now, this is one of those verses that has caused more heartache and anguish and pain and guilt and shame for parents than probably anywhere else in the Scriptures. But the Bible says, Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so as it is, I'd say to you today, parenting is tough. As a matter of fact, I don't have a lot of insight, but I do have a little bit of insight into what it's like to parent a child. Some of you have done it for years. Some of you have done it years ago. Some of you have forgotten what it was like. Some of you are right in the throes of the battle right now of what it's like to parent children. And so I wanted to take a few moments to discuss this week, and we'll lead into next week about this, where it comes to this subject matter of what Proverbs, what the wisdom of God would say towards the parent today. We looked at last time we were together the issue of alcohol and drinking. We looked at Proverbs chapter 20 about that. And I wanted to just, I was going to not talk about 22:6, and I said, no, we need to talk about it. I think it'll be helpful to our people. I think it'll bless you in a good way. You know, as parents, as mothers and fathers, we have these emotional and spiritual battles and burdens for our children. We want them to excel. We want them to do really well. We want them to miss the potholes that we ran through right in life. How many of us would all probably testify in the event that you are a parent or a grandparent? You'd say, you know, I have looked back and learned from some youthful indiscretions, and I would not want them to go through the same things or make the same mistakes. And so for that reason, I think that speaking on a topic like this will be helpful to us. But as a pastor, talking about parenting to parents is a scary subject to breach, all right? That's not one of those things you want to talk about. Now, the most arrogant of pastors would probably begin by telling you, I'm going to give you the 10 commandments of being a good parent, you know. And then a couple of years into his ministry, he's going to say something like, I'm going to give you 5 suggestions of hoping you do all right. And then, you know, by the end of his ministry, he's like, here's some tips on how to survive as being a parent. I mean, that's how it's going to end. Most guys start off really knowing everything and end up with a little bit of humility along the way. And that's kind of how I feel talking to some other people about parenting. You know, I realize my limitations in that way. It's like the mom who had some rambunctious boys, a whole mess of them, and had come to church, and the people in the church had spoke to the lady one day and said, listen, if you had to do all over again, would you have 3 of them little boys again? She said, oh, I'd do it all over again, just get 3 different ones. That's all I'd do, different, you know. And some of you probably could say amen to that, amen. That maybe parenting is just hard, you know. It can be tough, it can be draining. This morning, I want you just to consider, though, Proverbs 22:6. Let me just briefly tell you this. I'll let the cat out of the bag. The first 2 phrases in this verse isn't the issue. It's not the problem. It's the last phrase in this verse that drives so many of us crazy. The Bible says here, train up a child in the way he should go. Train up, that's phrase number 1. In the way he should go, phrase number 2. But the last phrase is the one that experience tells us is hard. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, there's such guilt today because people believe, well, if I do all the right things, if I go to enough Bible studies and pump enough Jesus into these children, then at the end of the day, no matter what happens, there's a promise in the Word of God here that says they'll never depart from that. And I don't have time to unpack that this morning, but I want you to know that if you'll attend and listen the next time we gather together, I believe that God will bless you and release you from the burden of some of you who have wayward children. Some of you that have children that have gone the wrong way, that have gone astray. I think that God will give you an insight into what He means in His text here about this, because I don't believe God's in the business here this morning of putting blame and guilt and shame on you for having wayward children. I just don't think that's the case. I know some of you have done all in your physical abilities to do. To do the right things and to ask your children to do the right things, and only to have them disappoint But listen, if they've disappointed you, don't you know they've disappointed the Lord as well? Don't you know He's brokenhearted? If anybody loves them, He loves them more than you do. And so there's going to be moments like that. Some of you are in a boat like I am. You've got young children. They're still under your roof. They're under your authority still. And so there's a great fear among some of us that are parenting that, man, we hope this thing ends well. We hope this thing goes as it ought to go, you know. We hope that they grow and do in a way that we think would bring honor and glory to the Lord. So there's a sense of tension there, stress there about that. And so I would encourage you to study this week this particular passage of Scripture. But I want to just share with you the one insight out of here as we close. And the first one is found here in the beginning of Proverbs 22:6, and that is that we as parents must train our children. We must train our children. Because here's the reality. At the end of the day, somebody's going to train your child. Somebody's going to raise them up one way or the other. It's either going to be you, or it's going to be the media, or it's going to be a TV, or it's going to be a bad influence down the road, or it's going to be somebody that you wish didn't do it. But somebody will train up your child in the way they're going to go. And it's going to be up to you. I believe ultimately that the Scripture would even say that it begins in the home. Spiritual formation begins in the home. This passage, I believe, is written from a dad to a son, written on the behalf of Solomon and these men of wisdom who composed the book of Proverbs to say, listen, we want you to understand, train up your child in the way he should go. I believe, first of all, the truth that stands out in this passage is that we must train them up. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means to mold them. It means to shape them. But particularly, the Scripture means there in that phrase, it means to dedicate them. The Bible gives several analogies here on how this concept is found in the Hebrew literature. One is that, in one sense, training up involves placing food in the mouth. You may read some of that if you study this passage at all. It's in some form or fashion, this idea of bringing nourishment to the child. It's the idea that, you know, you don't let a child stay on milk forever, right? At some point, you've got to put some food to the mouth, and you've got to nourish them and encourage them to grow and to be what they're going to be. And so you train them up. And so there's places in the Hebrew literature where you see that. But secondly, we see it in relationship to horses. It'd be in our mindset or our concept today of the bit that goes in the mouth of the horse. It's this horse that has all of this power and strength, and the horse's desire is to run and to be free, and yet there's a connection between horse and rider, isn't it? And that bit is not there to abuse the horse. It's there to manage the horse. It's there to shape that horse's abilities. And so you don't want to let the horse just do what he wants to do and run wild and injure himself. And so you control it. But there's a connection between the one who rides him. And there's a sense in which you train up a horse. And now I don't do that. But you know, we had a horse camp a while back with lots of people down there that loved horses and could train horses and did great things with horses. But I can't do that. But there's a third way that word is used to train up. It's not just with horses, and it's not just with putting food to the mouth, but it's with dedicating. And we see it in the Scripture at least four other times mentioned, the idea of dedicating buildings, dedicating a temple, dedicating a house. And here we believe it is in the sense that God is saying, I want you to dedicate those children unto me. And so, friends, I would say to you this morning, the question becomes, who's going to be doing the dedicating? What are they going to be dedicated to? Are they going to be dedicated to the Lord? Are they going to be dedicated to something else? And as Christian parents, I believe it's our responsibility to dedicate our children to the Lord, to lay them before Him, to pray over them, to pray for them, to have their best interest at heart, that they might follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what we said, the book of Proverbs points us to Jesus. We know the writer of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, said that Christ is the wisdom of God. And so if we want them to be wise, we want them to be pointed towards Christ. And so here in the Scriptures, the reminder that we have a sense of responsibility to point them to Christ and let them see a faithful Christian witness from us. And so here's the thing. Our children can see hypocrisy as easily as they can see sincerity. And which one are you displaying? You see, there's no doubt in my mind a kid knows when you're a hypocrite just as easy as they know when you're genuine. Amen? And so here the Bible says that we're to train up a child in the way he should go, and the writer's putting the burden on the parent to say, it's up to you to dedicate your child to the Lord as unto the fact that you're dedicated unto the Lord. The Apostle Paul had the boldness even to say in his writings, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And Paul was saying, if I ain't imitating Jesus, then don't be imitating me. And so it is with children today. We ought not to get so consumed by the things of this world that we would train our children to live for earthly things, but that we train them to live for heavenly glory. Now think about that before you judge the next person. Isn't it true that if we're not careful, we'll raise up a generation of kids that are running hard after the American dream and wanting to be the next big thing versus being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I don't know how you measure success, but I don't measure it by the American dream, and I hope that you don't do it either, because that's all a hoax. But if all you're living for is the next big house, the next big paycheck, and the next big career bump, or if you're living for those kinds of things, and that's your ultimate desire for your child, is that, oh, that they'll have it easy in life and that they'll have the American dream. No, your desire for your child ought to be, I want to train them up in the admonition of the Lord, that they would glorify Christ with life and in death, that they would live for Him. And that is the ultimate dedication to the Lord. To say, Lord, they're yours long before they were mine. And I'm to be simply stewards of the gift that you've given me. Some of us do a better job managing our money than managing our children. The Bible says we have a responsibility as parents for spiritual formation to begin in the home and to train them in those things. Listen, you wonder why I drag my kids to all these trips? Because I want them to understand what it means to serve the Lord in hard spots. I want to understand what it's like, maybe not for daddy, but for looking like people like the Rhodes family and say, hey, what would it be like for you to support somebody like this with your life and with your ministry? My expectations for them would be that they serve Christ with their life. Now, they may choose not to. That's between them and the Lord. I believe they're not robots. They're free will. They can make decisions that are foolish and stupid if they want to. One of the great prayers I've always prayed over my children is, Lord, help them to learn how to make wise choices in their life. The Bible says it's my responsibility to train them up in the ways of the Lord. Let's not get consumed by the things of this world. See, listen, pay attention, man. If all you're trying to do is get your kid to the next educational stopping off point because you think, man, if I just get them enough education or I get them enough money, man, everything will be better. I'm telling you, they're watching us. They're following us. They're looking at us, and they want to know, are we being real? But as Christian parents, we ought to have a sense of responsibility, dedicating them to the Lord. It's not enough for us to say we know how to take care of our own. Listen, even animals know how to take care of their own. God's called us to something more than that. God's saying, I don't want you just to take care of them and make them survive. I want them to thrive under your leadership in the home. I pray that we would be so distinctive that we are imparting spiritual values and spiritual insights into them that it would last for eternity. As we seek to dedicate our children to the Lord, I want you to be mindful that they're watching us. They're listening to us. They're following after us. They're obeying us. And as parents, we're going to train them up in the Lord. But what are you training them today? What do they know of your relationship with the Lord? Would they know it by intention because you've told them, or by accident because they just stumbled upon it? Do they really know that Christ is important to you in the home? Do they know that studying the Word of God means something to you? Do they know that integrity is a value that you cherish in your home? Do they know that there's a love between mom and dad in the home that supersedes one's individual pleasure, but it's about loving the other person greater than themselves? Do they know how Christ's love manifests itself when they're watching from the family setting? That's what training them up is all about. It's not about sitting your kid down and beating them over the head with a King James Bible. That's not what it's about. It's about having a life before them that is genuine and authentic and real, so that when you stand before the Lord one day, you say, Proverbs 22:6 told me to train them up, and God, in the best of my abilities, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I've invested in this child that you've given me. You realize, folks, there's only a certain number of moments that we'll ever have with our children. It is a limited, finite number of moments. And the goal of that is not to spoil them. The goal of that is to have them glorify Christ. And I don't know how long my moments will be. It may be that they're gone and I'm around, or I'm gone and they're still around. But the point is, every one of us has got a certain number of heartbeats in our chest, and we better make it count for the glory of God. You ought to be praying for these kids. Man, they're starting school back up, and there's so many things they're facing right now, so many things that are against them. Oh, there's been plenty of times where I've stood and I pray over my daughters. I pray over their bed. When they were little, I'd watch them, make sure they were still breathing. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, amen? You know they're fine, but then, you know, if they woke up, you'd scare them to death. You know, they looked up and they saw your face on them, you know? I remember doing that plenty of times. And Mindy's like, go to bed. I'm like, I'll go to bed. I'll be back in a minute. You know what it's like, parents, if you've ever had that experience. And so you love those children. You pray for those kids. And I remember praying over my children. I still do that. I pray sometimes over them while they're sleeping. Sometimes the best times to pray for them, isn't it? God, in those silent moments, lets you do that. I pray at the doorway of their rooms. I've prayed at long distances for my children. They're far from me, or I'm far from them, and I'm praying for them that God would use them that day. I pray with them as I go to work in the mornings. I pray that their day at school would be a chance for them to share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God would use them in powerful ways. I pray for their futures. I pray for their marriages. I pray for what God may unfold before them in their life, whatever that might be. I pray for their direction in life. And some of you have said, well, I've been praying for years, and I see how my child has done. But listen, I want to encourage you, never stop praying for those that God has entrusted to you. You have nothing better to do with your time than to pray for those little ones that God's put before you, that maybe now they're bigger than little, and maybe some are grown and gone, but you keep praying for them. Because let me say this, their rebellion never diminishes the power of your prayers. If they run wayward, if they run foolish, if they run off, let me tell you something, you train them up in the way of the Lord and you keep praying and you believe that prayer is more powerful than their rejection or their rebellion. And you trust and rest in the hope of God. There's a rocking chair in my house that my mom used to always remind me and Mindy. She said, this is the chair I sat in and I prayed for you and for your wife. And she'd look at Mindy and say, this is a chair I prayed for you about before you ever knew John. When he was a little boy, I'd hold him in this chair. And I don't know if Mama got confused. We might have had an old rocking chair. She just thought it was the one. I don't know. But I still got that rocking chair, so I took her word for it. I can't get rid of it. So I got the rocking chair now because you can't get rid of the one Mama prayed for you about. I mean, good Lord, that's sacred, right? That's holy ground. And, you know, and of course, she'd remind Mindy of that. That's the one I sat in. I prayed for you. But you know what I thank God for? I thank God for a praying mom. A praying mom who years later would tell me, I want you to know now what I did then, that I prayed for you. Maybe this morning you need to pray for a child. Maybe you need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for yourself and say, Lord, I hadn't been training them up in the admonition of the Lord. If they're watching and they're following, they're looking, they're longing to be like me, to be honest with you, I'm taking them away. They don't want to go. And God, I pray for repentance in my own life that I'd change and turn. But maybe today you want to just pray for that one. Oh, folks, you ain't got to admit nothing to me. I look around the room, I can see the tears. I can see the eyes. I can see the people that I know in their heart that I've had conversations with that say, I tried to do the right thing, but man, things didn't go the way I thought they would for my kids. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever give up praying. Don't you ever stop bending the knee for them. Don't you know there's men like the Apostle Paul who was one of the ones who wreaked havoc on the church? Don't you know there's probably some grandma somewhere down the line or a mama somewhere down the line that said, I didn't raise him like that and prayed him straight? Don't you think about Jonah? Man, he's running from God. He's acting rebellious and acting the fool and everything else. There's somebody down the line probably prayed for that prophet. Some grandma, somebody somewhere was praying for him and said, Lord, I want you to straighten him out. Use him. Don't be done with him yet. Use him. And man, God used him in a powerful way. Man, I think about all these men in the scriptures from cover to cover that there was somewhere behind the scenes, a mama, a daddy, a grandparent, a grandparent, a grandma, grandpa, somebody praying. And they just never gave up. And they may not have ever seen it in their lifetime. But boy, God had a plan and God did something in a mighty way. Let me say this to you as well. Some of you, you may have a child who's living wayward and rebellious and they're going to run and they're going to run to the end of their rope and they're going to never run back to God in their lifetime. And I want you to know this, that's their choice. That's their choice. The choice you have is to continue to pray for them, that God in His wisdom and His mercy would give you a chance in your life to see them return. That's the choice you get to make. But God in His sovereignty and them in their free will work together, that they're going to end that life the way they choose to end it. We'll talk more about this the next time we gather, but friends, this morning, maybe you need to pray. Maybe today was just a call to prayer. Maybe today was just a time to stir the heart a little bit about this matter, because I want you to understand, I think God has a lot to say about what it means to be a parent in simply one little verse of Scripture. He's laid it down for us, and I think it means something to us, and we ought to consider His Word in this regard, okay? We ought to pray for our children and pray for them diligently and intentionally this morning. Maybe this morning you're lost. Maybe you're a child that's lost. Maybe you're a parent who's lost. You don't know the Lord. Friends, I'm going to tell you, I don't know where you think that's going to end up at, but let me be clear, it will end in a place called hell if you don't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus. It is not something to toy around with. It is not something to look down upon. It's not something to make a decision on next week. It's a decision to be made this week and this moment that God's given you. We're going to sing a hymn in just a moment. Jesus paid it all, and He did for you to have a relationship with Him. Would you come this morning in just a moment as we prepare to sing? Would you come? And would you come and say, Lord, I just want to pray for my children. Maybe I want to pray for my family. I want to pray for myself. Maybe I hadn't been what you'd expected of me. But Lord, maybe I want to pray for my own soul this morning and get saved. Then you come and you talk to me, okay? I would never embarrass you, but I'd love to talk to you about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the moments that we've had today. We thank you for the reminder that you're at work in Boston. You're at work in Epsom. You're at work in your church all around this world. And God, we're grateful just to be a part of that. Lord, this morning there are people here that know that the Word of God teaches us certain things about our children. But this morning, primarily, our focus has been on this idea that we need to dedicate them unto the Lord. We need to lay them before the Lord in our prayer life. We need to say, Lord, these are yours. We're simply stewards of the grace and the things that you've blessed us with. And so, God, help us to be good stewards of these children you've blessed us with. Good granddads and grandmas and good moms and dads. And Lord, we know our time is limited. We only have a few brief years to put the Word of God into them because, Lord, we know that there's going to come a day where they're going to leave us and they're going to move on and they're going to grow up and there's going to be maturity that takes place and there'll be a life that they build for themselves. And so, God, I pray that we would never neglect the moments that we have right now. Lord, maybe there's some repentance today that needs to happen. Maybe there's some folks today that need to get saved. Maybe there's some folks that need to just lay down some burdens today. Lord, find some relief from the guilt. Lord, because today you want to come and just lift that from them and give them your mercy this morning. Maybe there's some wayward children that have broken hearts in this room. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill in the gaps there, that your love and your mercy would extend to our folks here today. Lord, I pray that as we study this text this week and the next time we gather, God, help us to learn what it looks like to be the parent you've called us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.